The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports, sports,
sports,
sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, we got some sports to talk about today and some other things. Let's have some fun. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Aaron is Blitz. At Degenerates 975. There's the text line, which you guys usually hijack on Tuesdays with nonsense. But we got some fun stories for you today, so hopefully that won't be the case. But 713-780-3776. Still no Twitch. Having some camera issues. Brandon's on the case. Eventually, Twitch will be back, which is too bad.
One day.
Because I did wear another shirt from Lucky's Pub to show off on Twitch, and there's no Twitch. Cool shirt, though. So, yeah, if you get a chance, drop by and pick one of those up. Man, I am so stuffed. I swung by Fegis on the way in.
Oh, good.
Grabbed a brisket sandwich, and it was awesome. It was easy to order. Just got online. Scheduled it for 2:45 so I could get it and come and sit in my new office and eat.
Your new office?
Yeah, I've been moved. I've been displaced because I'm no longer important.
Mm.
So my nice big office is now a recording studio, which we needed for videos.
Well, and now that you're no longer the editor of SportsMap, I mean, do you really need an office? You're like, you use your office less than anyone here who has an office.
But I didn't when we were launching the thing.
Right. And but I'm saying now, like for the last year.
Well, yeah, like I don't, well, not the last year, but I got to where I didn't have to work
you
as much.
You use your office for like a prep area before the show.
Prep
now,
and meetings.
Much.
I would have people in for meetings, but I don't really need one at the moment. But that's going to change in a couple months. So, you know, Brandon gave up his, which he didn't have to do. I told him I don't really need one right now. But hey, if it saves us from moving things around twice, all good. But yeah, it's actually a lot smaller, but it's the same view. I have the same window, and it's cool. I mean, because like I said, I don't really need it for that much. But man, it was so good. They're doing lunch from 11 to 3 Monday through Friday. I know you picked some up the other day as well.
I did.
So if you get a chance, go check them out. And real easy to order. So in fact, maybe I think one day next week, I may just order for the three of us and bring something in.
Okay. Yeah. I'll say this. Lance yesterday, and Lance, when I saw Fegis Barbecue tweet out last week that they were hurting, and their setup is really, it sucks for, I mean, not in general, but their setup sucks for Corona time, certainly.
Yeah.
They work in a big office building, which it has like a food court at the bottom of it, and there's like Burger Chan and a couple of like a Mediterranean place here at Greenway Plaza. And normally, so many people work in that office building that you've got a sustainable business model.
Right. It's a lot like the downtown tunnels right now.
Right.
Which are really suffering, all those places.
So now, all of a sudden, nobody's in that office. In fact, that building, I believe, is closed. Like
you can't get in there.
You have to call, like, and this is the craziest thing. I had to call Patrick to come open the door to let me in to get food. I mean, it's really a sad setup right now for them. And I know Lance went and fed some hungry folk, like bought extra food to feed homeless people. I think Jerry Bowe was trying to do the same today.
Yeah, he did the same thing today.
I should have thought to do that instead. I was like, I'll buy T-shirts. Like, just trying to spend money there, you know? Like,
I'm supporting it by getting fat.
Yeah, I did that too. So, But Lance yesterday was like, hey, you know, why don't we start trying to do a local Monday thing and find a local restaurant on Monday that in killing it and try and help them out.
I think that's a great
game plan.
I'm more than happy to participate as well. But yeah, because I saw Lance talking about it, heard you talking about it, said, you know what, I'm going to give him some business. And it's real simple. And I tweeted out the link to their website. You can just order online and order what time you want to pick it up. And that's what I did. So worked out great. And there's also a video showing you how to get there, which is really easy. If you don't know the area, it can be confusing. But it's real simple. You just go up the ramp, you park right next to the little school, tell them you're there, and they bring you the food.
Yeah.
So, I know there's a lot of you guys out there that are in those kind of situations where you're in a place that, hey, business is really good when there's business there. And, you know, if you're reopening, then, you know, let us know. We'll let people know about it. So, 713-780-3776. But, yeah, I've been thinking about all those. Because the wife has been going to the office pretty much every day now. I mean, she was doing 3 days a week. Now she's doing five. Well, four this week because we drank too much Sunday. But she's been going to the office pretty regularly, and there's been about three or four people in her entire office, and they just came out with a plan to start bringing people back, which is very similar to what we're doing. It's going to be, you know, rotating so that there's never more than like 10 or 12 on one floor and stuff like that. And so I'm guessing a lot of businesses are doing that about now, and hopefully that'll get people back to these clusters where they can go and support restaurants like that. But, you know, it's a lot easier for some. I mean, it's not easy for anybody right now, but some of the restaurants that are outside and contained and not locked into one area, they're doing a little better. But even the other night when we went out to dinner at the Rustic, that's another place that ordinarily you've got all the downtown people, you've got all the convention people, and then you got some East downtown people who go in there. So they're in a really good location. But guess what? We're not having right now conventions.
Right.
and usually anybody who travels and stays in that area, that's where they go, because whenever we've gone in there, we always run into people from other places that are there for business. And the other night when we were there, there were two guys from out of town in for business. That was it.
That's it.
And I'm surprised they were even here, because we're not seeing a lot of travel and things like that. So, you guys let us know. We're happy to let people know about stuff that's open. Try to get you out there when you want to go. And again, if you're still not ready to go someplace and sit down, then this is a perfect solution. Just go pick it up and go find a nice park and eat there.
There you go.
Or you can eat in my office. I'll let you eat in my office.
In your new office.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Cecil from Saltgrass says, so awesome what y'all are doing for these restaurants. Keep being great. Thanks, Cecil. I mean, we're just, you know, we do what we can.
I mean, we got to eat anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not making any big sacrifice by eating awesome barbecue and great mac and cheese.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not like some sort of, what a great guy. No, listen, I've just got to eat. And if I'm going to eat anyway, I might as well eat somewhere where it's doing some good.
Yeah, and where people are struggling right now with some of their businesses. I've been going to a couple of places in my neighborhood that are not doing very well right now and have been shut down. And now that we're getting to that 75%, maybe business will pick up. But I've been trying to spend my money with places that are struggling, and that's a lot of places right now. And so we're just going to tell the people. I got a very interesting email. I don't know how I feel about this. This says, welcome to the Penn State parent and family experience. You're invited to join the Penn State parent and family experience. And they've got stuff like newsfeed, regular newsletters, save and share articles, alerts via email. There's no Sandusky mention in here.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. That's kind of a weird feeling. Jesus, my youngest kid is going to Penn State, and I'm now part of the Penn State parent and family experience.
Well, she might eventually go to Penn State if Corona ever ends, right?
I haven't talked to her about. She's still planning to go on schedule right now because it's supposed to be open then,
right?
But that can change. So it may be that her first semester is all over the computer.
Could be.
That's how my son, all of his classes at the end were all online. which, again, that's another. I'm trying to find positives because I'm in a good mood today. But it's one of the few positives of this whole mess is that we have so much online now that we could get by with some stuff like teaching online. You could do. I mean, we could do the show at home. I mean, those are not things we could have done 10 years ago if this happened. And I can't imagine. I mean, the impact's bad enough as it is. Can't imagine what it would have been if that had been, if that had been 10 years ago.
Right.
What would we be doing? We probably would have come in and worked wearing hazmat suits.
Yeah.
And masks.
I don't want to sound like this.
You did sound like that the first 5 seconds, 10 seconds we were back.
I tried it.
Oops.
I tried. I wanted to see if it would work, if it would change the sound or anything, because
definitely did.
I'm okay with wearing them. But yeah, if it's going to affect how it sounds, then no. But and 832 says, doesn't it feel like life is getting back to normal? Not yet. I mean, I feel like it's getting better, but normal? I don't know when it'll be normal again. Or even feel like normal. At least not for me. I mean, I'm sure it was nice for you to get out and play that baseball tournament. Well, not play, but be part of that baseball tournament.
Oh, I played. I had a uniform.
And
that other giant kid was going to play. I was like, well, I'm going to try it.
Yeah, might as well. Oh, there was a Little League World Series joke there, but I'm going to pass on it. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Guys, I got to tell you about my good friends over at TGS Insurance, and look at you guys. You've made TGS one of the fastest growing agencies in the entire state of Texas. But if you haven't done it yet, now's the time to do it. If you own your home and you want to save some money, they got you. They got you. They've got an innovative system. They've already shopped all the home insurance prices for every home in our area. And they know what you can be saving. That's why they can get an answer to you in 15 seconds or less. All you do is text the word money to 232323. The system will ask for your address. You send that back. You'll get a full quote and proposal with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. How about that? And it's real. I know it's real because I've saved over $1,000 myself. They've got a nearly perfect online rating, over 1,000 reviews. The average customer saving nearly $900 a year. And they're going to take care of the back end. Your old insurance company, whether you're in a contract, they're going to give you back that prorated amount, and you'll start saving money now. Text TGS text the word money to 232323 and start saving today with TGS Insurance.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. The ESPYs have always celebrated hope, service, and perseverance. This year, more than ever, we want you to celebrate with us. And we want to celebrate athletic achievement right here at home. ESPN 97.5 is honoring a local athlete whose senior season was cut short due to the COVID-19 health crisis. Tweet at ESPN 975 with the hashtag Houston ESPY before today to nominate.
Yeah, today's the end of it.
Yeah, this is it. You better do it right now.
Yeah, I think we're going to announce it at, 6 o'clock, okay. Something like that?
All right, so at 6 o'clock, tune in, you'll hear the winner. Do you ever wonder why words were pronounced the way they are? Like perseverance. Who decided it was going to be perseverance and not perseverance?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Was there like a Lord Grand Linguist? Who decides these things?
I don't know.
Because I know in some cultures it's different because I know Canada will say stuff like project instead of project.
Right.
Which, you know, okay, that's just being a hoser. But a word like perseverance. I'm just curious who said, okay, this is how we're going to pronounce this word.
I guess an English professor decides.
Why does he have to be English?
Well, that's the language we speak.
Yeah.
We speak the language that was born in England.
Yeah, but we speak Texan.
Right.
I don't need no English feller telling me how to talk.
Well, the way you're saying it is, I mean, you're talking
I'm going to say perseverance.
A local dialect. And if you were to say it like that, people say, oh, well, people from Texas are just ignorant. And
or maybe we're smarter than everybody else.
No, they invented it. This is how it's said.
That's how they say it. Yeah. This is how we say it here in Texas. And I think more people need to kind of follow along with what we're doing.
You're right, Fred. Let's just make Texas more like Alabama. I think that's what everyone's hoping we'll do.
Maybe you shouldn't be on your Austin high horse.
Maybe
you need to be more like the rest of Texas.
Liberal.
Oh, man. I don't know. I it's stupid, the things that pop into my head sometimes. But I saw some other word the other night, and I was thinking that. It's like, okay, why did they decide to pronounce it this particular way? And
you say a word. I forget what the word is that you always say that I'm like, oh, that's not how I thought that word was said.
Well, there's a bunch that I'll get wrong because I read a lot, and I know the meanings of words, and I see them a lot, but they're not always words I've heard. I try not to use them on air, but it happens sometimes.
I forget what the one that I mispronounced
apparel forever.
What'd you call
it? I used to say apparel. That's what I thought it was. That's what I heard it. The first time I heard it, that's what I was told. And so it sticks, even though it's wrong.
See, it's funny because you should have never told me that, first of all, because I always assume because you're a writer, you were a professor, like, I just assume that whatever you say is right, and I always assume that what I was thinking must be wrong because Fred said it that way.
Now, most of the words I will try to look up if I'm going to use something on a regular basis that I don't know. But I don't get them all right, and it's usually because it's something that I read over and over and over again and never actually heard. And then I hear it, and it doesn't happen a lot, but about two or three times a year I'll hear a word somewhere, and I'll say, wait a minute, I didn't think that's how you pronounce that. And then I'll go and look it up and look up the pronunciation, and about two of the three times I was wrong. Sometimes I'm right and they're wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it does happen, but I mean, it's not... It's just, I prefer to think of it as I have a fairly extensive vocabulary, but it doesn't mean I've heard every single one of those words, if that makes sense.
Okay.
But as a writer, yeah, I use a lot of them, and I read so much. And when I used to play online Scrabble, people would get pissed off because I'd come up with some ridiculous words from like chapter 3 of iRobot.
Right.
And like, that's not a word. I'm like, look it up, man. You're using a dictionary. No, I read iRobot when I was 12 years old, and the word stuck.
I feel like the word I'm thinking of is something to do with like court hearings or something like that, that every time you say it, I'm like, huh, I thought it was different, and then I feel stupid. But I've got to ask you about it next time you say it.
Okay. No, it may be that it's wrong.
Okay.
I would say I have about a 99% hit rate, but I use a lot of words.
And I'm probably for sure wrong.
Yeah, but I use a lot of words.
I limit my words.
But that 1% is also a lot, right? That's like when you say 1% of the people are dying from the Rona.
Yeah.
It turns into a pretty big number.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them have it. So there.
So you're a 1%er.
Mm.
Which we've always pretty much known.
So he says, at this point, you guys are just buying into the fear tactics about all of this. The government has already backtracked on most of what they said.
Fear tactics about what?
The Rona. I don't even know where this comes from.
Did we even mention coronavirus today?
We were talking about restaurants being shut down and businesses hurting.
That has nothing to do with what we believe on it one way or the other. The fact is, businesses are actually hurting because of it. So yeah,
we're talking about trying to support business, not sit back and shoot off stupid texts like you.
Starting to say this. Yeah. 2 days ago, the government said, hey, good news. If you're asymptomatic, it's very rare, that you'll be able to pass it on to someone else. Like 24 hours later, they were like, yeah, we shouldn't have said that.
We
were wrong. So, like, if you were asymptomatic and you just went willy-nilly and started breathing on everybody.
Start coughing on everybody.
Hey, let's make out. Let's party. Nobody's symptomatic. And now it's like, oh, we made a mistake. That was not true. And that's the same organization. So don't.
Let me read his whole text because it's stupid. It's even more stupid than you're giving it credit for. It says, at this point, you guys are buying into the fear tactics about all this. The government has already backtracked on most of what they said was the reason for shutting us down, and you guys are still talking about masks and school not happening. First off, we don't know if school's happening. And
saying school isn't going to happen. I was asking Fred if his daughter has heard anything about when school will happen.
Because what did I say? As of now, the plan is still to go, but that could change. So that's not fear-mongering, turd. And here's the other thing.
Shame.
And yes, I'm still talking about masks because I want to go back out there, and I am going back out there and doing stuff. And guess what I'm doing?
Wearing a mask.
I'm wearing a mask when I'm doing it. And here's the other thing. Was I not the one who said, don't shut this thing down?
Yes.
I said that all along. And then once we did, I said, all right, we better follow what they say. If we're going to ruin the economy, let's make sure that we can come back. So, dude, my God. That you know what? You get bad text of the day. Nobody's going to be able to top that. That what the hell?
Well, now you get bad phone call of the day.
I didn't mute my computer because
okay.
You know, and here's my excuse.
I didn't do it. You should have heard. Like,
I know yours went off too. So yeah, you can't bitch.
But this is the thing. Like, an ad popped up on mine, and you heard it. And I was like, ooh, that should have been like a sign to you.
I know. I should have checked, but I was watching. Okay, here's my excuse. Make fun of me all you want. I was watching the video on where to pick up the food from Feegis.
Okay.
And so I was listening to the lady, and then I forgot to mute it afterwards. And then I came back, and nothing else happened until just now.
Okay.
So.
Did you hear? Are we going to break right now? Is that what I do? I hear music.
No.
Oh, okay. Did you hear Wendell Champion come in here today with John and Lance?
No.
Wendell Champion is he is running against Sheila
Jackson.
Sheila Jackson Lee.
Yeah, that's my area.
It's pretty much everyone's, most people in this area's district there. It's the 18th congressional district, and he's running as a Republican. And you know what? I give him credit, and we actually ended up having like a 40-minute conversation. I have no idea how he made time to sit and talk to me for that long. This was off the air. But he is a really – he's a pretty sensible dude. And you know me, typically
if they start off with an R next to their name, they're going to have to build
right.
up a little bit.
I'm already like, okay, what kind of crazy stuff is this guy going to say? And he's a, you know, he's not a hardcore one way or the other guy. And there's a lot of people asking why are you running as a Republican? And there's some things he's like, you know, some of these things like right now, like I don't believe in defunding the police. I think that's crazy.
Yeah, and what's your opinion on that too?
We talked for a good while, and you know, that's a smart man, and that's a dude who is he's a veteran, went to West Point, smart guy. He's a with it dude, and I don't, you know, it's not my district, so I'm not voting for him, so I can say that. But he's not what I was expecting him to be. How about that?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and I hope he sticks to that, because I meet a lot of guys that are running for office, and then as soon as they get into the debates, they fall back on the party lines.
Yeah.
So hopefully that won't be the case. I'd like to meet him at some point, because I have no problem with voting for somebody with an R next to their name.
Well, if he wins, he would be the first guy with an R next to his name that's won that district, I think, ever.
Well, it's going to take some work.
Which, by the way, they've got somebody needs to come in and who's not affiliated with a party one way or the other and redraw these district lines.
Yeah, that's never going to happen until...
Like, the 18th Congressional District reaches down from, like, almost Pearland, goes up to Spring, and almost it hits the Beltway, like, at 290, but doesn't hit the Beltway anywhere else. It's sort of shaped like a dragon.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, they just squiggly line. This works.
Gerrymandering is the worst.
It really is.
And as a society, it's amazing how tolerant we are of it, because
we've just like accepted that this is how the lines are drawn.
And the reason is, it's whoever's party is in power.
They draw the lines.
Yeah. Those guys aren't going to give that up.
Why would they?
And that's why we need a third party, and they're doing it.
God, I need to be the third party. I might do it.
Well, one of these days, somebody's got to do it, man, because these guys aren't going to do it for us. But what is somebody who lives that far north in a subdivision have in common with me who lives in the city? in terms of voting and issues and things like that. I mean, I'm sure there's some things that we would agree on, but for the most part, they deserve representation in the area.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, but.
Well, I mean, you live in, we both live in Houston. You live downtown. East downtown, which is, but I live in basically suburbia.
Right.
It's, we've got different, we live different lifestyles, honestly. Like, the different things are important to us.
Exactly. And that's, you know, it should be representative of your neighborhoods. But we're never getting that one fixed. I'm still working on the whole Middle East thing. And I know you're supposed to be working on the Rona. So maybe if we can get those things fixed, we'll get to gerrymandering.
Yeah.
But it is funny to me that there's nobody is ever up in arms about that. They complain about it, but nobody ever says, okay, there needs to be something done about this.
You would think everybody would want something done about it.
Not the party in power. Not whoever gets to draw the lines. And that's the problem, because it goes back and forth. Once the other party gets it, they redraw the lines, and then, you know, it's just the same thing. Rather than, hey, you know what, let's do something that makes sense. Let's do something truly geographical and based on communities that, like, have things in common.
Use things like roads that are in place, and we can say from this street to this street on the north and south, this street to this street on the east and west, this is a district.
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound crazy?
That's never going to happen. Pat in the 409 says, as a veteran, it blows my mind about the mask thing. Try wearing full CBR gear in the damn desert.
I mean, the people complain about it's hard to breathe. Yeah, those mop suits, that is no joke. Even when you're, you know, you got to wear it for a couple hours in training. It's miserable. Don't tell me your little surgical mask or your cloth mask is really breaking up your stride. All right. I got to tell you about Pro Dunk Hoops. ProDunkHoops.com. That is where you get the best basketball goal on the planet. And how do I know it's the best basketball goal on the planet? Because I've got one in front of my house. It's got the thickest steel of any goal you can get on the market. 75% thicker than you can get for the best brands in one of those big box stores. They've got a backboard that is so strong, Hoops guarantees if it breaks or cracks for any reason, they'll replace it for free. And they've got a rust armor finish, 30 years maintenance free, perfect for our Gulf Coast weather. And they've got a design to fit your home, your driveway, your backyard. They've got a fully portable version if you've got a pain in the ass HOA, and they're all adjustable from 10 feet to 5 feet. So however old your kids are, they can play. Get your new Hoops goal today. See it all, ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com, 281-351-9822, ProDunk Hoops.
The jump life, I tell her jump, she say ho high.
She does.
Different folks, but dummy is my bro. This is his instrument. Tip the made for extra benches, not to mention NCD.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. 713-780 ESPN is your number. So, what are your thoughts on these defunding police department things that are going on?
Listen. I'm against it, and here's why. I think that I think that the police have a lot of problems? Yes, I do. Do I think that taking their money away and getting rid of the police altogether is going to somehow make the world a better place? I do not. There is a need. There is a need. Now, would I prefer to see police be used as, you know, basically peace officers? That should be their real job.
To protect and to serve, first and foremost.
Yeah. The problem is a lot of police don't look at it that way. They look at it like they've got to police citizens. And it's that's their first move. Which, not all. I shouldn't say they're, like it's all of them, but many of them.
I would say the of the problem guys, that's the issue.
Yes.
I think, though, throwing out everybody and just completely defunding them is stupid. It's a complete overreaction to a problem that needs to be fixed with actual reform and actual counseling and actually working with these guys and changing the laws, not just getting rid of them.
Right.
I'd like to see how safe you're going to feel if you don't have a police department in a big city. I mean, I'll feel safe, but...
Well, and also, I mean, it's... Listen, everybody's in different parts of town. Like, there's some places where you probably would feel fine not having a police force. But if you don't have a police force, maybe crime is going to increase there. And here's the other thing. Think about the people who would really suffer from this. It's people in lower-income areas. Because you think in Rice Village, there's not going to be privatized police patrolling nonstop? There will be. You think in over here in what's it called right over here inside the loop? Is it Hedwig Village?
Well, it's Hunter's Creek.
What's the something village right here where the Apple Store is?
I don't know.
It's all the fancy shops. I think Hedwig Village is down there, like south of I-10. But all those kind of places, trust me, those are going to be taken care of. River Oaks, they're going to be taken care of.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, where the Apple Store is down Westheimer,
yeah,
that's just classified as River Oaks, according to Google.
No, that's not right.
Well, there is another little village
Afton
over
Oaks?
There.
No.
And just like over in Memorial, there's two or three little villages.
Highland
like
Village.
I don't know if that's an actual, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Highland Village is an actual area.
All right. But yeah, there's a bunch of those little places, but... Yeah, I just think that we if you get rid of them and start over, that's a mistake too, because there are some guys out there who are doing a good job.
What I do think needs to change is police unions.
Boy, John Oliver did a really good thing on that this week. I highly recommend it if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, I believe that is one of the bigger problems with police is the police union system, and it is it basically is just giving people free rein to cover for each other, and that's a big part of the problem. And again, I say this all the time. I don't believe that all cops are bad cops. I don't think that's realistic, but I do think if a cop covers a good cop covers up for a bad cop, it makes him just as bad. If he's putting the police brotherhood above their sworn oath to protect and serve, that's a bad cop, period. So that's what I think. I think that's what needs to go away.
And somebody said the percentage of bad cops is so small that talking about getting rid of them is ludicrous. I agree with that. There is it's funny because it kind of leads me into something else I wanted to get into. There's a percentage of everybody in every walk of life that's a bad person. It's worse when you're in a position of authority like that.
Yeah.
Like teachers who bang their students. And to me, that's taking advantage of something. But, yeah, in my world, if I were elected czar of the country tomorrow, I would pay more money to police officers. But I would also require a 4-year degree in criminal justice for any police officer. I'd require more education, but they'd get paid for it. And that education, you'd put a lot of training into how to deal with the public in situations like this.
Yeah.
But I'm never going to be czar of the universe, and, you know, so that'll never happen. But that's what I would do. So, and then Pat says, don't defund them. We need to demilitarize the police instead. That's another issue that Oliver brought up. That was very interesting. I like when he dives into subjects like that, because while I don't always agree with the direction he goes, I learned something from it. And yeah. I learned a lot from that. I highly recommend this last week's. But did you see what your buddy Joe Biden said about...
What did my buddy Joe Biden
say? Well, I mean,
say?
you're a Biden guy. We know that.
Oh, yeah. I've made that pretty clear.
well...
By the way, that's sarcasm for people new to the program.
Yeah, if you're new to the program, we don't like either one of these guys, either of us. But Biden told supporters during a virtual town hall on Thursday that the U.S. is an overwhelmingly decent nation, but added there are 10 to 15% of the people out there who are just not very good people.
See, I wonder if I agree with that. I don't know if I do. I actually think most people are just crappy.
See, I think that number's too high. I'm sorry. Maybe I think more of people than I should, but I think 95% of the people out there are decent people.
And yeah, I'll go with like 50.
But
if
it is the 5% that makes it worse for everybody. And maybe it is worse than that. Maybe there are more bad people, and I don't know. I tend to believe that there may be people who make mistakes sometimes or maybe aren't that great, but I don't think that they're just bad people. Now, we see them all the time. This guy who did this was a bad dude. And, boy, if you look at Twitter, you probably think 30% of the people are worth a damn, if that. So, I don't know, man. But is that him being cynical, or do you think he's being optimistic?
I don't know. I mean, I think he's trying to say the right things. I don't know if he believes that. I don't know. I mean, can we believe anything any politician says and take it at its, you know, take people at their word? I don't know.
409 says there's a difference between opportunistic crappy people and genuinely crappy people. That's probably true. But I don't know, man. I do see a lot of good that comes out of things like this. I've seen a lot of positives, not just from, you know, what's happened with the protests, but going back to the Rona. I've seen a lot of people step up and do good things. People that I didn't really think of as good or bad people, just people. Turns out they're pretty good people.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm trying to be positive today. I'm seeing the positive in people. I think that number's too high. So, yeah. 214 says your expectations of people are way too high if you think it's 95%. Maybe. I mean, that's always been my number, though. If I based it on the text line, it would be about 70%. And if I based it on Twitter, it'd be about 30%. But I'm just basing it on my daily interactions with human beings. Because honestly, what you guys put on Twitter is meaningless to me. If that's a revelation of your character, then, you know, it's pretty pathetic. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Well, my woman, she told me.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Black Excellence says, saying you would require all cops to have four-year degrees is basically saying you want even less black cops. It's harder for black people to get into college, which is a systemic issue. You know what I would say? Didn't you have programs to balance it out? A lot of colleges do that. You have scholarships, you find a way. And if it's getting disproportionate, then you create scholarships for minorities.
Dude, we did
that in journalism for years.
I don't know if you need a 4-year degree. What I will say is it takes fewer hours of training to be a police officer than it does to be a hairstylist. That's not right. That's not right.
I'll compromise and say 2 years associate's degree. How's that?
I think that's pretty fair.
But, and again, I pay them more.
Yeah.
You're getting paid more for doing it. So theoretically, you know, and you get better people if you pay more, right? So, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, if you want to get in. And 409's point, most of the people who support defunding the police are not calling for no police. We want a small, highly trained, and physiologically strong-armed police force. These guys would focus solely on violent crimes and theft. Then other jobs would be created to do all the other jobs cops
well,
have to do but shouldn't.
That's what I will say is, like, I like the idea of, you know, investigating crimes and things like that. cops always put like patrolling the streets hoping to find criminals? I don't know. It seems weird to me, and I guess that's how it's always been, so we just accept it. But it does, and a lot of it is, cops are also a way for cities to make money by ticketing, parking, driving violations, things like that. So they serve many purposes. But yeah, I do think that people forget there's a lot of things that the police do that aren't necessarily like what the guys driving around the streets are doing.
And Lamont kind of mentioned that. He says, I think when people view the cops, I'm sorry, I'm way behind on Twitter and text now. I'm trying to catch up. So I think when people view the cops, they specifically only look at the beat patrol cops and not all the other departments. And that's the thing. I mean, that's a small part of an entire police department, especially in a city this big.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's also just one part of the force. We've got constables. We've got state police. And it's funny because when the wife first moved here, she's like, what the hell's going on with all these different police? You got Metro Police. You got that. Now, some of them are divisions of other departments. But, I mean, there's an awful lot going on where these things don't happen. And it's like there needs to be change. I think everybody agrees with that. And when police forces say, hey, we need to make some changes, that's when it'll start happening. So hopefully, yeah. Fortnite said, I watched that John Oliver. His writers are really talented. They find good stuff for that show.
Yeah, interesting topics for sure.
The best ones are, like, he does one every now and then where I had no idea something was going on. And you watch it and you're like, holy bleep, I didn't know that. And then you go research it and it's great. Well, I think the best one he ever did was the first season. He did one on Afghan translators that helped us over in Afghanistan. And all of the guys who, and a lot of them saved American lives, and they were trying to get them and their families out of there because once they were gone, the Taliban was going to get them. And they couldn't do it because there was too much red tape. There was too many issues. They were able to bring a goat back from Afghanistan, but not a human translator. And it was a fascinating piece. And that kind of hooked me on his show. I mean, he does a lot of anti-Trump stuff and gets into some, you know, he gets into some left-wing things that I don't really buy. But when he dives into things like that, let's take a look, you know, let's take an investigative look at how a police union works is basically what he did. And it's like, holy bleep, I didn't know that. So, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. Yeah, I have the best story of the week. I'm saving it for 5 o'clock.
Oh my!
It was going to be gym of the day, but it's too good to be gym of the day.
I've got some sex stories that I need to get to today.
Okay, this is kind of about sex.
Okay,
and kind of about Hitler.
Oh, is it the girl who won the Miss Hitler contest?
Yeah, don't spoil it. I got Miss Hitler for you. I want to get into that.
We talked about that yesterday. You remember that, right?
Yeah, but I want to dive a little bit deeper into this.
Okay.
So, yeah, I know we had it as a dumbass, but there's a lot more to the story that I want to get to.
All right.
So,
mine's about Corona sex.
Does that mean wear a mask? Well, and don't kiss?
Amongst other things.
Interesting. So, yeah. But now I finally got the whole story about this. The best part, they're not she's not American. She's from England. All these guys are from England.
Yeah, you think we're having the Miss Hitler contest here? No. Joff 288 says, look, sometimes drastic changes are needed. I didn't understand wet wipes until AJ told me. See, sometimes you don't know that things need to change, and then someone tells you, and it's like, oh, well, now that Jay's world is probably a better place now.
Well, there you go.
Now that he's got wet wipes. Yeah.
So,
you're welcome, Jay. I don't like to call myself a hero, but I don't get mad when other people do.
Hero's a little strong.
Yeah.
I mean,
Elvis was a hero to some.
Yeah. And I just look, let's forget, let's try to be positive influences for one day. Can we do that?
Actually, Elvis was a hero to most.
Okay. Not Beatles fans.
No.
I didn't realize there was such a beef between Elvis and the Beatles. Until I watched that movie about Elvis and Nixon.
Oh, I haven't seen that movie.
It was not that great, but it was interesting. Just because I found Elvis and Nixon both interesting.
Elvis was a hero to most. It's just a lyric from Fight the Power.
Oh.
Which is poignant in this time, in this age, Fred.
I see.
Yeah. I was a hero, like Elvis was a hero to most. I'm a hero to most, and it's just fitting for the topics of the show today. Well, really, for the past week or two.
Really?
Yeah. You're welcome. I'm just trying to help you be more woke.
I'm as woke as I'm going to be.
You think so?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, I don't know. I'm at a stage now where I don't know what's going to happen next. You know, with the stupid Rona, and then this happens, and then of course they threw a friggin' tropical depression out there and just kind of taunted us with it.
You know what? I'll say this. I haven't even thought about that damn tropical storm hurricane. What's it going
to
hit?
No, it's gone. It went off to, it's already, went off to Louisiana.
Did anybody have the spaghetti model right?
I think they all did once it finally got, out into the Gulf. So, yeah. But man, it's already feels like 112 outside.
Yeah, it's not.
We don't need that.
Comfortable, certainly.
We don't need that at all.
No.
So, Eric, I guess wouldn't term limits help the issues with government? No, because there are term limits on a lot of stuff, and it doesn't matter. The thing is, until we get better people wanting to be politicians, people who actually will represent us, and then nothing's going to get done. And the whole problem is that the two crappy-ass parties that we have, they're both jokes. And it's just everybody has to spout this damn rhetoric, and nobody actually does anything. And no, until we get decent people in as politicians, which in Joe Biden's model, if he's ranking politicians, it's the other way around. 15% of them are good. Until we do that, and I don't have an answer for that. So,
well, I'll expect you to by the time the show ends.
Fair enough.
Come up with an answer,
man. I'm. Are you asking me to drop the Middle East? Because I've been
working on that.
I've been putting so much effort into that, man. I thought I was going to solve it.
Quit working on that immediately.
832 asks, how is your betting going to change when sports programs come back? Will the short training camps make it difficult? I think we've already seen a little bit of that with the soccer, that some of the teams weren't as sharp when they came back, which is what you would expect. I've seen it, too, with a lot of these horse tracks reopening. Some of these guys haven't run for 6 months, so
yeah.
Now you can't really tell. And I think some of the fights you've talked about, you don't know what kind of camp a person's having.
Listen, I'm not in a hurry to start betting, $1,000 a game or something like that. I'm gonna tiptoe myself in when things do get started up.
Yeah,
especially this NBA stuff. Like, if I don't bet NBA, but if I did, I'd be very, very leery of expecting the product that you're going to see looking even remotely close to what you saw when this thing broke up.
I would agree. And as far as college football goes, I do think it's going to impact teams that are having significant changes, like coaching changes and quarterback changes.
Yeah.
Because they haven't had the practice time. A lot of them didn't even get spring practice in. They were about to, and then it got whacked. So that'll all be stuff that I study, who had spring practice, who didn't. But, yeah, I think you need to be aware of it. And then if there's no crowds, how does that impact things? Like, I think it will affect some teams because, well, if there's no crowd at Rice Stadium, it's no different than any other game. But you don't think that would impact Ohio State if they have only 25% of the crowd?
Yeah.
So all of those things will be factored in at some point. All right. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 975.
Less commercials. Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.